Glass Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
You know, I want to say today, because I wasn't here yesterday, we had a recorded show yesterday from Ray Mondragon, of course, with Creation Science Fellowship, and Ray did a great job for us, but I didn't have the opportunity to personally say Happy Memorial Day. So much appreciate our veterans and all the people that gave their lives for us, and not just people that have passed away, but people that have lived for us.
Right.
It's amazing, and our guest today is Dr. Brian Nixon. Brian, welcome into ABQ Connect.
Jim, as always, it's a pleasure and privilege to be with you.
Well, I'm so appreciative of people in this world that, you know, a lot of them are living with ailments, injuries, all kinds of things. And people don't really think about, or a lot of people don't, about the massive sacrifice that our veterans and our first responders. And of course, I know Memorial Day wasn't designed for our frontline healthcare workers, but they really need to be added to the mix.
That's right. Really, any first responders. As a matter of fact, I was just with Jim, a member here of Calvary Albuquerque. I'll say his first name, I won't say his last name, but Bill. And he works for a local grocery store. And the things that he has seen, even as a grocery store worker, he's in the management position, but it's one of those things that, yeah, our military, we're so thankful. But as you said, we could expand that, particularly in a time of crisis such as the COVID. It could go to medical doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners. But we could even expand it more to anyone on the front line, those people who show up to work day after day, knowing that their life is at risk, and they could, you know, contract this and have to deal with the ramifications of it as well. As a matter of fact, I heard yesterday from my daughter, Sutherland, who said a girl that she grew up with here at Calvary, she went into the nursing field and she contracted COVID. It's doing well. I mean, she's young and she's resilient. You know, my sister, contracted COVID. She lives in New York. She's an archivist for, Broadway, and she contacted it, and you know, she was miserable. I mean, it was a miserable experience for her. It's taken her about 3 months for her lungs to really start getting back. She was finally able to see a doctor last Tuesday. And, you know, he said, hey, your lungs are looking great, but, you know, you just need to keep, you know, making sure you're taking care of yourself and stay away. And it's just an interesting time we're in.
Well, I'm sure hopeful. I'm hearing about two different trials now, human trials going on for vaccines. There's all kinds of things that are out there. Of course, there's plenty of criticism that's leveled against the government. And, you know, you have people that are overreacting and underreacting. I saw this morning on Good Morning America, they were questioning the governor of Arkansas because they seem to have had a resurgence. And this is a very fluid thing.
It is.
And Brian, I know that we have biblical precedents that we need to follow, but I think that at the same time, I know we still have to be careful.
Yeah, and you know, the biblical principles, Jim, you know, Pastor Skip wrote for Christianity Today an article called The Quarantined Life, and I recommend a lot of people to pick up that article. You could actually go on to Christianity Today's website and get the articles free of charge. I think it's under the pastors section. But in that, I think Skip offers some of the most balanced biblical view of it. And I just love how he articulated it. And I have used that article multiple times when people, you know, because I think a lot of people, is this the end times? Is this it? And ultimately we don't know. Maybe. But chances are it's not. So I love Pastor Skip's approach. So I would encourage all of our listeners to pick up The Quarantined Life by Pastor Skip. Again, under Christianity Today, they're online, and you just go into the pastor section. But I think he approaches it from a very biblical standpoint.
Brian, I want to share with you something fun that happened last week. So last week, Matt Griego, I've got Brian on my mind.
Yeah.
Matt Griego, Pastor Griego with Calvary Church, did a little interview with me and asked me some of the things about my background and how long I've been involved with the church and so forth. And he said, tell me one of the neatest things that you've experienced since being here. And I said, oh man, I have thoroughly enjoyed visiting with Pastor Brian Nixon. And so then he said, you mean the Nixonian Institute? And Brian, it's just such a compliment to you because you have such an amazing, rounded interest. You know, this, you've got buckets of this and buckets of that, and you have so many interests that are so diverse. Last time you were on the program, we were talking about art.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
I got a kick out of the question I asked you about how does your wife react when you go up to Santa Fe and look at the galleries? And,
all the time.
And it's just hysterical that you have that great joy to see, you know, Christianity and culture. And of course, you've just written a new book called Tilt, which we visited about briefly a couple times ago.
Yeah, and it just was released this week. Its official release is this week, but it will be available in June for people to pick up. But yeah, Jim, first of all, thanks. That's very sweet of you to even mention me. But I think part of the Christian life is that it is to be enjoyable, that it's a blast. Mm. You know, God is so gracious. He's given us life. He's given us existence. He's given us creation. And I think part of us partaking with it and enjoying that, in a way, it's a form of worship. It's like, you know, when you give, you know, your daughter's outside the door here, Jim. And when you give her a gift and you see that she just revels in it and she loves it and she's, oh, so thank you, Dad, for this. This is so amazing. That makes you feel joyful. And I think that's similar to what we do. When God gives us a gift and we're thanking, you know, be it something as simple as creation or as, you know, more profound as math or philosophy or anything. But when we're dealing with it and we're going, this is so cool. I think it pleases the Father.
Yeah.
It really does.
Well, I mentioned Ray Mondragon talking to us from Creation Science Fellowship yesterday on the program. And I have Ray on fairly regularly to talk about how science supports what's in the Bible.
Right.
And we talk about evolution and how that so-called theory of evolution has never really risen to the level of science.
Right.
And he shared something with me yesterday that made me think of you, because you talk about this topic mm-hmm. as well. He said that the layers of the earth, the geological layers, are named pretty much for the fossils that are found in each layer.
That's right.
And then he said, well, let's say, for example, that you have a tree and that tree is all of a sudden covered up halfway by a bunch of mud. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's going to happen to the rest of the tree over 500 years? Well, it's going to decay and rot, and more than likely, it's not going to be encased, so it probably won't ever become a fossil.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked the question, he says, how many fossils are being created today? Mm-hmm. Well, probably not very many. He mentioned, you know, Mount St. Helens, when that erupted, there was a rush of mud and water and could have covered up some living organisms and then be encased in lava over the top of that. And if everything didn't burn up or vaporize, maybe that becomes a fossil in mm-hmm. so many years. But his whole point was this. He said, there are, in the layers of this earth, all over the place, there are fossils that are very tall, like
right.
a tree,
yep.
that are vertical.
Right, they go through different layers.
They go through different mm-hmm. layers. And that, though it is fossilized, and the only possible scientific explanation for that was a catastrophic event mm-hmm. like Noah's flood.
Mm-hmm.
That would have laid down all of those layers all at once and encapsulated yeah. these living organisms. And boy, it's actually very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned that secular geologists will look at something like that and say, there's no scientific evidence for Noah's flood. But then you look at the same exact data from a Christian scientist mm-hmm. point of view, and they say there is no other explanation.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting to see and read some of the mental gymnastics that go on to explain that. Because I taught biology, I used those as examples. I taught in Christian schools, of course, and so I used those examples often. But to read how other scientists, let's say non believing scientists, would try to make sense of that is really sometimes pretty humorous. I mean, it's like interesting that all the mental gymnastics you've had to create to make room for this. It's fascinating, but you're right. You're so right, Jim.
Well, Brian, among the other things that you do, and I recently found out about this, is you are on the board of directors of Joy Junction.
That's right.
And Joy Junction has been a longtime supporter of the programming on KNKT, mm-hmm. but they also do an absolutely amazing job of helping people that are in a homeless condition, and they primarily work with families.
Right.
And the work that Jeremy Reynolds started many years ago, when I was first on staff here at Calvary Albuquerque, mm-hmm. which is in the early 80s, Jeremy was starting that ministry.
That's right.
And I remember him just fighting and scratching and doing everything he could do because he knew God called him to,
right.
to help people. And I'm amazed at what that ministry has now become. Tell us a little bit about Joy Junction and what they're doing and how they help people.
Well, as many of our listeners may not be aware of today, but probably most are, that Jeremy is a British national. He's from England. Mm-hmm. He came to America, then, you know, fell on hard luck himself, became homeless himself. And he had originally started in Santa Fe and wanting to see if there would be something in Santa Fe that would, you know, take root. Didn't happen. He moved here to Albuquerque and, as you said, began the ministry of Joy Junction. And over a period of time, it, you know, the Lord blessed it. It became one of the largest homeless shelters in New Mexico, or it is the largest homeless shelter in New Mexico and one of the largest in the region. And it was just amazing. And I first met Jeremy not through the homeless shelter, but we were both journalists for ANS News. So we wrote for the same news service. And one time on a visit to Albuquerque, this is before I relocated to Albuquerque, Jeremy said, "Hey, let's have lunch." So I met him at a hotel restaurant. We met and it was great. Little did I know 2 years later or something that I'd be moving here. And right when I got here, Jeremy said, "Brian, you should come on the board of Joy Junction." He knew I worked for a homeless shelter when I was in my college days back in California. I worked for a group called Tri-City Homeless Shelter. Mm. And this was various churches that had got together and they founded a homeless shelter in the Bay Area of California to really help offset homelessness in this area, which was basically Fremont, California area. So I took a job. I was a night counselor and had a wonderful time. It was an amazing experience. So I did have a little bit of homeless shelter experience. So Jeremy invited me on the board and I've been on the board since, of course, since Jeremy's passing. His wife Elma has taken the reins and she's doing a great job. And you know, in a time like this, you know, Jim, no one's written a book to say how to survive a pandemic, you know, or what to do, particularly when it comes to homeless. Because going back now to what we said at the beginning of the program, you know, we have the first responders, doctors, and then you've got your restaurateurs, or I mean, grocery store people and all these. We forget that homeless shelters are also on the front lines.
Yes.
They are dealing with people on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of times they're dealing with people who are in compromised situations. They don't have the luxury to have hand sanitizer and be able to wash and stay away from other people. They're forced to live in these type of communities. So, you know, JJ takes that very seriously. They've been helping homeless families, single men, single women, and they do it regardless of their religious background, their gender, their ethnicity, nationality. Their whole mission is just to meet people where they're at and assist them to the best of their ability.
Well, Brian, we've got a lot more to talk about about Joy Junction and about the ministry and all the things that encapsulate helping people recover from homelessness. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back after these messages.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org.
He's a no-nonsense conservative fighting the Washington machine. Congressman Jim Jordan took on the radicals and the liberal media, defending President Trump in the sham impeachment hearings. Now he's asking for an ally in the fight, Yvette Harrell.
I'm fighting for our country and our president every day, and I'm asking you to send Yvette Harrell to join us in that fight. I'm Jim Jordan. I've known Yvette for years. She's rock solid. She'll boldly stand with President Trump to secure our border, hold China accountable, and help restart our great economy. Don't believe the special interest lies you're hearing. Vote Yvette Harrell for Congress.
Conservative leaders like Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, and Mike Huckabee endorse Yvette Harrell for Congress because they know she's the only candidate who has consistently stood behind President Trump.
I'm Yvette Harrell, and I approve this message. I'm ready to join proven conservatives like Jim Jordan in Congress to take on the radicals and defend President Trump.
Vote trusted conservative Yvette Harrell for Congress. Paid for by Yvette Harrell for Congress.
Hello, this is Chaplain Jim Meyer from High Desert Hospice. I want you to know that we're praying for you and to remind you that you're not alone. In times of crisis and uncertainty, it's important to cling to that which we know, that we're cared for and deeply loved by God. David had this confidence when he wrote in Psalm 28, verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped." So from our family at High Desert Hospice to yours, be encouraged.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. The spring and summer months are hard on your car, and that's why Power Ford makes it easy for you to take care of it. Our routine maintenance and service costs less than most of the places that started off selling batteries, brakes, and tires, or the places that promise to get you done quick or in a jiffy. Allow the Ford-certified technicians at Power Ford to help you take care of your car. Each service includes a full sanitation and disinfectant treatment. All makes, all models, and you never need an appointment. Learn more at MyPowerFord.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Brian Nixon in studio with us today, and I think we're close to the 6 foot here, Brian.
So I'm 6 foot tall?
The social distance.
Oh, thing, yeah, we're close. Probably like 4 feet.
Oh, okay.
But, Jim, I don't have a temperature. I don't have a temperature, and so I think I'm safe right now.
You know, the funny thing is, and of course, we all now, our supervisors have to contact us every morning.
Right.
And find out if we're experiencing any symptoms or doing those different things. And, you know, that really is very thoughtful, but I was kind of joking around with my supervisor, Chip Lusko, this morning. I said, I still can't dunk a basketball. And I didn't see his response, but I'm sure it has something to do with, Jim, you are old.
I can't dunk I mean, you're much taller. I'm 6'1 when I stand up straight. And what are you, 6'5?
I'm about 6'6.
6'6,
yeah. And there used to be a time when I had no problem dunking a basketball. And I will tell you that I can remember with clarity the day that I couldn't. It's like it just one day I could and the next day I couldn't. And it was really a strange feeling.
Yeah.
And recently I've been watching some of these things like a story about Michael Jordan,
right.
You know, The Last Dance.
On ESPN, right.
And I just finished watching one about Brian Bosworth.
Mm-hmm.
They called it The Boz.
Yeah.
He was one of the first college athletes to ever really be marketed. And he was, you know, just off the chart, you know, charismatic.
I remember him, yeah.
You know, the eccentricity of people, I call those kind of people full-flavored people.
Yeah.
And I love them. I love watching them. It's like I'm dating myself, but I used to watch tennis all the time when we had Ely Nastasi.
That's
and
right.
John McEnroe.
Yeah.
And
John
Jimmy
breaking
Connors.
And throwing and doing all his antics. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, to me, that was really entertaining. Now, is that a, you know, espousing Christian values and all that? No, but it was, in many cases, it's not really real.
Right.
I think it's just a show.
Sure.
It's kind of like watching world championship wrestling.
Yeah.
You know,
back
in the old days. So, Brian, we're talking about Joy Junction, and they really are dealing with something that's really real.
Right.
I mean, the things that are faced by homeless people. But I did want to mention, at least from the media standpoint, unfortunately, many of us live vicariously through what the media tells us. I'm not seeing a lot about the homeless population being affected by COVID. But you mentioned the people that are involved in the ministry are absolutely on the front line. Tell us a little bit how COVID has affected the homeless population.
Well, I mean, as a matter of fact, we had a board meeting recently where Elma gave us, an update on things. We're trying to have more during the COVID crisis, more board meetings, just to ensure that that she's being supported. And there's been no cases at COVID. There's been a couple of people that, I mean, no cases at Joy Junction with COVID. Good. It's been a couple of people tested, so they're very thankful that nothing has happened there at Joy Junction. But that doesn't mean something can't happen. You know, Joy Junction provides so many programs and such to its community. You know, there's the 9-month life recovery program. They connect people to government agencies. There's medical treatment. There's, you know, helping with documentation, jobs and housing. And the list goes on and on of all the services Joy Junction provides. And all of that requires intimate contact.
Yes.
You know, that you're within a room or such. And let's be honest, homeless people, a lot of homeless folks don't have computers or smartphones that they could join on Zoom. So you can't say, hey, let's do this over Zoom. And they go, well, do you have a computer or phone you could give me? Because I can't afford any of this. So, you know, Joy Junction, like any homeless shelter, is having to continually be, you know, frontline people. You know, they are with the folks.
You know, we had a sociology teacher, I'll not name her, but when I went to El Dorado High School just a few years ago.
Yeah, just 2 years ago you graduated.
And they, one of the things that she did in this class, which was fascinating to me, is she had some of us live in other people's shoes. So what I had to do for a 48-hour period is I had to be totally blindfolded and blind. So I had to shave, I had to shower, I had to do everything, and I was blind for 2 days. There were people that were put in wheelchairs. There were, you know, and so we all learned and had a new appreciation for people that have these physical challenges. I mean, it's crazy. But I bring that up only because the perspective that our young people have today, you just mentioned cell phones and electronic devices. I hazard to guess that if you ask a young person in our society to live 48 hours without a cell phone, they might have a heart attack.
Yeah. It'd be a national crisis, right? They have to call in the police and the military.
And, you know, I have to say that really is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, we can't. I've liked the fact that my children, raising 5 children, have had cell phones because in some ways I felt they were safer because of it. I can't imagine a parent who may have a homeless child somewhere in this country not knowing where they are, not knowing if they're in good health. I mean, it's just got to be tragedy upon tragedy.
Yeah.
Brian, I really want you to elaborate a little bit, even if we have to take a couple segments to do it, on the ministries and the programs that are offered, because you really do offer long-term care for homeless people at Joy Junction.
Yeah, Joy Junction really does. You know, to go into all facets, because when someone hears, well, Joy Junction, what is that group? You know, and they automatically think a homeless shelter, but they do. But as we pointed out, they do life recovery programs. They teach life skills. They teach good decision making. There's Bible-based approach, on physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Even the case managers offers individualized, help to guide them through career life planning. I already mentioned the medical treatment. Not only that, but the spiritual needs. There's chapels. There's a chaplain. The list goes on and on and on. And then you add on top of that, of course, their homeless outreach where they allow families to stay. Then they have their, what I'll just call their bus ministry. They'll go out and find homeless people and feed them. Or they'll, if the person won't take food, they'll give them a $5 gift certificate for food. And so the whole thing is Joy Junction really is about ministering to the least and less fortunate in our community. And, you know, before Jeremy passed away, he told this beautiful story of a fella. He was speaking at a conference, and unbeknownst to Jeremy, one of the speakers was a former resident. The guy had went and got his PhD and was now speaking somewhere. And so Jeremy happened to be speaking too, and the guy tracked him down and said, I just want to let you know that what you guys did at Joy Junction, I was down on my luck. Things were not looking great, but you guys truly were instrumental in helping turn me around. Not just because you gave me a place to sleep, but because of all the other programs that you offered. And he got back on his feet. He went, he got, you know, a college education and just continued. And then years later, he's a doctor, a PhD. And it was just really neat. As a matter of fact, I remember Jeremy telling me the story, and he was sick at the time, when he was telling me this, but it was almost like one of those things where you go, boy, that's the reason why you do this, to see a person who not only physically turned around, but the guy is he's a Christian, and he's was yearning to, you know, dedicate his life to serve God and other people. So I think really that's what Joy Junction is at its heart. It's a service ministry and hopefully helping people turn around so then they could go be a productive member of society.
I want to know how you feel about us giving money to people that are panhandling on the corners. Are we enabling them, Brian? Are we just giving them money so they can go get alcohol? Do we need to worry about that gift after we give it? I really would love to hear your viewpoint on how we should treat people.
And this may sound over spiritualizing it, Jim, but I really do think every situation requires prayer. I'm not an advocate necessarily for each person on the home, you know, that you see on the street that you just start handing out cash. The reason being is some people could abuse that, you know, then you could be contributing to an alcohol or a drug problem or whatever problem. So I think you have to be very prayerful. So when you see a person, at the same time, James in the book of James, you know, discourages us from just saying, hey, God bless you, be on your way. There is a time when you do have to step up and really offer them. So I would recommend if it's put on your heart to assist an individual is to do like what Joy Junction does is, you know, to give out a $5 voucher to a restaurant. Don't give them cash because you never know how that money will be given. But, a lot of times, you know, you could bring food, you could offer other, you know, necessities. This is just me personally. I'm reluctant to give money knowing that the money may not be used in the right direction. Now, if I had time, which a lot of times is the case with anyone, you just don't have time. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, meet me on the corner. Let's spend the next hour talking. If you had time to really get to know some of these folks, you may find out that, wow, really, it is money that they need. And you know, I think at that time, after a prayerful time, you could offer some money. But again, that's where places like Joy Junction come in. As a matter of fact, more than not, if I'm talking with an individual of this, I will always say, hey, have you tried Joy Junction? And what you'll find is a lot of people, well, I'm not staying. I'm just trying to get out of town. I'm trying to get to the next town and blah, blah, blah. And then you'll see that same person there for a week, but they're just trying to blow you off. But, the reality is I always try to point them to a Christian organization. And in this case, it's Joy Junction is our Christian, you know, homeless shelter. So I say, hey, go to Joy Junction. They can help you.
Let me ask you a question about the number of beds available. I know the city has a facility. You mentioned, obviously, Joy Junction is the topic of our conversation today. Mm-hmm. There's Steel Bridge. Are there enough beds in our municipality for people that want help?
Oh, boy. You know, under the COVID, you know, in the potential of, you know, more people losing jobs and so on and so forth, I don't know if there are. But I would say under a normal circumstance, you know, Joy Junction, you know, and by the way, Joy Junction just built a whole new wing. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole new complex that's ready. It's increasing And the new complex does give more privacy to individuals, and it gives for individuals and families. So I don't know if in a crisis time, if any city in America has enough beds for people. And Jim, let me even back up. Even sometimes it's not just a matter of beds or space. I think it's also equipped. You know, if they're equipped enough to handle the reality of the totality of homelessness. And let me give you an example. Someone on drugs. Joy Junction will address and deal with them, but they're not going to take someone who is completely strung out and endanger, let's say, children. They're always going to make the right decision. Mm-hmm. So there's other organizations, there's detox centers that they would call and say, hey, before you come to Joy Junction, you need to go to get detoxed a little bit. You need to get this out of your system. And that's the case with any homeless shelter. So, you know, most homeless shelters in America, and I say most because there may be a handful at the most that has on-site doctors, that has on-site psychologists, that has on-site social workers, that has on-site all of this stuff. Most homeless shelters don't. They rely on government agencies. They rely on other things to partner with them to get the people the help they need. So I don't think maybe there's a couple in some of the big cities that has all of these, but Joy Junction doesn't have a full-time medical doctor. They don't have a full-time psychologist on staff. They don't have a full-time social worker. So what you have are these case managers who are really trying to do a lot of stuff, and God bless them because they do deal with a lot of stuff on a day-to-day basis. But I think it behooves every homeless shelter, be it a city-sponsored one or a Christian one or a church-sponsored one, that they work together to help each other, particularly in increased times such as we're seeing right now.
Yeah. Well, I know this, Brian. I know that Calvary Church has been backing Joy Junction for a long time. They've also been backing our radio station. We're trying to get the word out. There's a lot of homeless people in town, and Joy Junction is one of a couple ministries right. that are doing a lot of great work. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how our listeners might come alongside Joy Junction. I know you use volunteers.
Uh-huh.
We may even have stimulated a doctor or two to think about coming down and volunteering some hours. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. Dr. Brian Nixon's with us on the program today. We'll be right back.
Concept Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
Here's Ava, the owner of Monroe's.
Dad, I think we're in deep doo-doo.
Is that why everyone keeps buying all the toilet paper?
Actually, New Mexico culture is rich. Plus, Monroe's has red chili, green chili, and the best customers in the world to go with it.
Boy, Dad, you must really love our customers.
I sure do, just like I love you, Stella.
Hey, what about me?
Of course you too, Ava.
Treat yourself to a delicious Monroe's meal. See Monroe's menu at monroeschili.com, then call in your order to Monroe's on Osuna at 881-4224 or Monroe's downtown at 242-1111 for carryout or free delivery.
Admit it. You're smiling under that face mask, and we are too, because Calvary Church is getting ready to say, welcome home, as we prepare for in-person services at all our campuses. Starting the last weekend in May, everything will be in place to make the worship experience as safe as possible for our staff, volunteers, and most importantly, you. With guidelines from the state public health order and prayerful leadership, all services at Calvary Church will be contactless and include things like face coverings, social distancing in the sanctuary and outdoor spaces, digital resources through our app, and plenty of clear signs so you know exactly what to expect. If you're hesitant to come to service or are at high risk, you can still join us online where you can chat and pray live with Calvary Church pastors. We can't wait to be together again May 30th and 31st. For all the details, visit calvarynm.church/together again. That's calvarynm.church/together again.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We're back this afternoon. Again, hope everybody had a nice three-day weekend, Memorial Day. Amazing people that have given their lives and lived, really, for our country. So many people, Brian, have given all that they have, and they're still living. And I'm so impressed that they sacrifice everything that they have for us, and we don't even know them.
Amen to that. Sorry, Jim, I was drinking some water, and it went down the right tube. When you said, oh, I got to answer, and then I start coughing here, so I apologize.
You never want to suck water into your lungs.
Right. That's exactly what I just did. I thought, Jim's asking me a question, so I take the sip quick and then choke it.
Hey, Brian, I want to ask you a little bit about giving in general. So many people contact the station, and they say things like, if I give money to this organization, is that money going to be well spent? I think they have the same question about giving money to an individual. Is this person just going to go buy, you know, some substance and be a substance abuser? So I want you to talk to us a little bit about giving in general. Giving is really something, I'm sure you can do some research and be thoughtful about what you give, but what's the attitude that we need to bring to giving?
I always say giving two criteria, prayerfully and carefully. That's the two criteria I give. I mean, this is apart from church. I mean, obviously, when you're giving to church, we're called to give to the church and to propagate and help promote the gospel in the world. But when you're giving outside of the church, I say prayerfully and carefully. And what I mean by that is, number one, prayerfully, you got to pray about, you know, like, Lord, what is a passion point? What is it that I care deeply about and I would want to help, you know, support? Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean prayerfully. And then carefully, you have to make sure you pick organizations that are careful with their money. And I, when I look at giving of organizations, and I support several outside Christian organizations, and each of them, I've invested time in understanding who they are, their background, what they support. If they're part of the Evangelical Financial Accountability Group, I really appreciate that. That means there's some oversight. You know, someone's not living in their, you know, multi-million dollar mansion, driving their Ferrari and Lamborghini and saying they're helping the less fortunate when most of the money's going to them. So I give carefully. So I choose organizations that I know have a good reputation. So prayerfully and carefully.
You mean as a radio guy, I'm not going to get to drive a Lamborghini?
You may, Jim. I mean, you know, when your radio program goes, big time, Howard Stern, you'll be up there.
Oh, there you go. Well, I can tell you this. If God ever blessed in that way, I would absolutely want to make sure, you know, what's on my heart is ministries that feed people, because I'm still in shock how many homeless people there are, and particularly my heart is around kids. You know, we visit with Holly Slade with Feed New Mexico Kids, a little bit with Dustin over at Legacy Church. Both of those organizations feed literally 1,500 people a week.
Right,
That's a lot of food. And I think about, you know, Noonday Ministries has been providing lunch for homeless people for many, many years. We have all kinds of food banks and different things that are doing a lot of that. So my heart really is that, in my opinion, there's no excuse in this country for people to go hungry. Mm. We need to make sure that people have food.
Right.
And so my heart goes out to them. So that is, you know, along the lines of what you said earlier, passion, my passion is to make sure people have food.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Jim. I mean, you know, children really does tug at our heart because they can't help it. They can't go get a job. You know, they're dependent on situations. And when you see a hungry child, it really does take it to a different level. And that's one of the beautiful things about Joy Junction is that they do service families. As a matter of fact, the handful of times I've went down there for either a Thanksgiving or Christmas or something, one of my greatest joys also is just seeing the children. One year for Thanksgiving, we volunteered on Thanksgiving Day, and I brought our kids down, and this is when Jeremy was living, and he goes, well, where do you want to volunteer, Brian? I said, we want to go with the kids. And we just sat there and did some crafts with the kids and ensured that they were, given the attention that they were, because really it tugs on your heart.
Tell us about the construction project that was just recently completed at Joy Junction.
Yeah. Well, the construction project in theory began several years ago. You know, Jeremy had this vision. He wanted to get some pre-assembled housing, and they were brought down. And then through the process of all this, you know, Jeremy was still alive when the ribbon cutting, I was there, I prayed and shared a little bit. But then Jeremy's health started to turn. So Elma picked up, she started to run with the project. And now they are about half full, meaning the occupancy, they're ready, and she could use about half of them. And the other half still just needs a few little tweaks and things here and there to ensure that people could get in there. But they really add a whole new level of...
Brian, I want to stop you right there, because that's saying to me that there's contractors listening to this show that might be able to go down and help out with a little bit of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly enough, Jeremy, as we know, was a media genius. I mean, he had his doctorate in media and such. But one of the beautiful things that Elma does well is she just connects with people on a personal level. And throughout the last year and a half, 2 years, she's been able to connect with some contractors, some folks up from Santa Fe area. As a matter of fact, one is a new board member now. And these folks have just kind of come out of the woodwork and said, hey, we want to help and get some things done around Joy Junction. And it really has been a beautiful thing to see. You know, it really is a work of God in that situation, because Elma or myself or any of the other board members, we didn't go out of our way to try to track down the best and the brightest for things. We just allowed God to lead and direct. And now, you know, the old, schoolhouse that was on the property was torn down and made sure it was kept clean. The buildings, Elma has done a fabulous job with the buildings, and there's just a lot of neat movement with there. But I agree with you. If there is a contractor, anyone, any Christian individual who wants to give towards a fabulous ministry and that's really truly helping our community, Joy Junction is one of the finest.
JoyJunction.org is the website, and you can go in and you can take a look at their ministry, what they're doing. There's a nice section under About Us, talks about the mission statement, the staff, latest news and information. They have a blog. They have testimonials about victories and people that have Yep. done well and gone through the programs, and families that have been successful, from mom and dad all the way down through their kids. Obviously, the organization would love Yeah. your prayers.
Unquestionably. Yeah. And as you you said it, and that's worth repeating, Jim, that the new building is already in use. People are occupying those, and we're looking to expand into more rooms and such. And that also, it's interesting to point out, Jim, that Joy Junction depends on volunteers, but due to COVID, Joy Junction has had to stop taking volunteers because of all the criteria that goes with that for the quarantine. But once COVID, is lifted and people could do, Joy Junction will then start considering taking, volunteers, to work under the guidelines, for the present situation. As a matter of fact, early on in the COVID crisis, clients, dropped because they were just scared. It's like, I don't want to go anywhere. So I'd much rather sleep on the street when I'm by myself than be around other people. But I think we're going to start seeing that go up as we come into the summer months.
Well, I'm glad to hear that the ministry can still use volunteers, but of course that's going to be a fluid thing in terms of
Yep.
a plan. And
Yep.
But people can get updated at joyjunction.org, find out about ways to give, support Mm-hmm. the ministry, come alongside them in various ways. Contractors come out. I know this. Contractors are always needed for almost all the ministries we talk to.
Yep.
There's always you know, pipes that need to be fixed and sinks and faucets and walls and sheetrock and all those kinds of things need to be done. So if you have some of those talents and abilities, contact Joy Junction. Really, an amazing ministry.
Yeah, and even some other things that people could do. You know, a Square Root Salon, has provided haircuts in the past. Joy Junction does have a healthcare group that comes in regularly, and they have medical teams that will do periodic checks on some of the clients. So it's not just it. Really, there's a lot of areas that people could volunteer to help the homeless. You know, maybe there's a doctor listening that goes, "Hey, I'd like to join this healthcare for the homeless team that stops by," or maybe I'd give haircuts to, you know, the homeless. I mean, there's lots of ways people could get involved to help the homeless.
Well, we hope that as you're listening, that the Holy Spirit kind of speaks to your heart and you think about different ways you might be able to be involved, not just with Joy Junction, but other people we talk to on a daily basis. Brian Nixon, he is an assistant pastor and he oversees publishing and education at Calvary Church. He is also on the board at Joy Junction. We're talking about Joy Junction today. Stay with us. One more segment. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you having a craving for authentic and delicious New Mexican cuisine? Sadie's On Academy is offering phone-in, curbside pickup, and online ordering with menu items like their shredded beef brisket tacos, Brian's carne adobada ribs, sopapilla sliders, and more. Don't forget to pick up their famous Sadie's chips and salsa, located at 5400 Academy Road Northeast. Orders can be placed at 505-821-3388. That's 505-821-3388.
Duke City Ready Mix, your local premier concrete and gravel producer, recently received national recognition by winning the Excellence in Concrete Quality Award from the National Ready Mix Association. We are dedicated to earning your trust by our consistent quality, service, and by being a good neighbor, serving the entire valley. Visit us at QualityMattersHere.com or call 877-5777. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community.
Ever walk into a movie late? You may never catch up on the plot. Well, same's true of the Bible. Miss the opening book and you'll have questions all the way through.
Genesis is the foundation. It's the ground floor. If we don't understand the book of Genesis, we won't understand what follows the book of Genesis.
That's Skip Heitzig reminding that our redemption through Jesus' death and resurrection starts in the book of Genesis.
God says to Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." It's a promise of the Redeemer. It's the seed plot of the rest of the Bible.
Rediscover the foundation of your faith. In Skip Heitzig's book, you can understand the book of Genesis. Our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Happy Tuesday. Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Dr. Brian Nixon in studio with us, and we're talking about the ministry of Joy Junction. Brian serves on the board of directors of Joy Junction. Quickly, Brian, you feel pretty good about the financial accountability of the ministry and how they manage their funds and use most of it to help people.
Oh, unquestionably, yeah. They're you know, let's just say it's always run a tight ship, Joy Junction. It doesn't have an extraordinary amount of money to do with, but what it has been given, it has done a lot of great things for our community.
You know, I used to try to park in a parking lot. I hope they still have this, but it was down next to a big computer center called Big Bite. Do they get some of the proceeds from that parking lot?
They did. And some of those relationships have changed and they're in the process. One of the big ways that, Joy Junction has made money in this past year, believe it or not, is through its car donation program.
Hmm.
And so where we've lost some money, aka in the parking lot situation, it's picked up some revenue in that people have donated cars. And though it's a lot of work for Joy Junction to take those in and get them and turn them around and someone come pick them up, it has generated some funds.
Okay.
So we are pleased that that is a new program that Joy Junction has embarked on that has seen some dividends to actually help with the homelessness.
Brian, are some of the residents of Joy Junction involved in some of the work and the ministry
Oh, sure.
and executing a lot of that?
Sure. Elma you know, we'll use different folks. And as a matter of fact, historically, some of the workers that were hired on at Joy Junction, in some cases, you know, were former clients that went through the entire program, got their life, and have been hired on. Not all of them, but you know, they've even, you know, used that. But yeah, having people work there, it's part of, it's not mandatory, but it's part of their the livelihood and the well-being of the organization.
Well, it'd be an amazing thing for you to go through the program, see the amazing results of it, and you just want to pass that on to other people and work with people that were in the same situation.
That's exactly right.
Good stuff. Talk to us a little bit about the causes of homelessness, Brian.
Yeah, let's just say at the offset, Jim, that there are many causes of homelessness. There isn't just one reason. Interestingly enough, it's also dependent upon your location. It's regional. There's some continuity between the whole area of homelessness, but some regions maybe, hey, this is one of the reasons why we have more homeless than this region over here. But I think you could narrow it down to three major areas. And we could say the number one, let's just call it unemployment or poverty. Someone lost their job. They were poor as it is. They were in a minimum wage job and they just were kicked out. They have nowhere to go or know what to do. So they'll go to their homeless shelter or they'll live on the street. So I think that's probably one of the contributing factors. A second contributing factor is mental illness. And people don't really, well, we understand that when you see a person walking down the street talking to themselves or so on and so forth. But mental illness is a big contributor to homelessness. And I think a third are what we would say drug-related, people who chose a particular lifestyle, though that's not as high as some people would expect percentage-wise, but drugs do have some kind of connection. Then there's one that I was telling you about during the break, Jim. It's a lifestyle choice for many. As a matter of fact, in some regions like Portland, in the Northwest, it's one of the highest percentages. Over 30%+ of homeless people choose to live a homeless lifestyle. And that takes on different angles. I mean, there's a whole group of people, and I likened it with you in the half, on our break, Jim, to maybe in the 20s and 30s, the hobos, who that's what they did. That was their life. They didn't want a job. They didn't want to have a house. They wanted to live on the railroads and just do it. And there's a contingency of people in America today. That's what they want to do. They just want to live homeless. They don't want to have jobs. They don't want to be tied to anything. Some people would argue, well, there must be some form of mental illness there. Not always. There are people who just want to be left alone and live where they live and how they live. So in some communities, it is a lifestyle choice. But I think by and large, we could just say unemployment, poverty is probably the major factor. Then you would say mental illness is somewhere near the top. You would say some kind of substance abuse. And then you could say a lifestyle choice. Of course, when you get to poverty and unemployment, there's all these sub factors. You know, there's deep medical bills. There's all these things. But really, if you were to clump them under one area, I would say you would just put it under unemployment/poverty type situation. That would be the greatest proportion. But then mental illness is not too far behind.
Out of the population at Joy Junction today, what percentage of folks will really find restoration and get back on their feet? Is there a pretty large percentage?
What was interesting is before Jeremy passed on, he was looking at doing another study, a full orb study, hiring an outside organization. But what he realized is sometimes it's very, very difficult to track the totality of people that have come through Joy Junction. So it's hard to determine the success rate of everyone that comes through because, as you know, some people, they're coming through town. They may stay, you know, a short period of time and you'll never hear from them again because they're all of a sudden in Dallas or in Phoenix or in Denver or, you know, the next place. So it's very difficult to track, you know, homelessness in an official manner. But I think the track record of Joy Junction is really good. I used that one example of the story I told earlier of a guy who approached Jeremy at a conference and went back and got his PhD. Elma hears stories all the time of people who have got back on their feet after spending some time at Joy Junction. Again, Joy Junction, it's not just, hey, we're giving you a bed and some food. We want to help you across the board. We want you to succeed as a person. So they bend over backwards to ensure all these different types of you know, cares are given to people. And then it's left in the people's hands to utilize them.
Yeah.
And that's the unknown factor a lot of times.
A few years ago, and I don't want to give the impression that Jeremy Reynolds was a drill sergeant by any means, but Jeremy was a pretty practical guy, obviously a really hard worker. And he shared this story with me. He said that there was a veteran who shared with him that he was totally blessed by the regiment of the life at Joy Junction because in the military, he thrived in that kind of system.
Right.
He had to get up at a certain time. He had to make his bed. He had to do all these different chores. He had to perform his duties. He had to do his work. He had to train and drill. And again, I don't want to mislead anybody. This is not like a military thing that you're going to find at Joy Junction. Instead, you're going to find some people that really love you and care about you and are going to put you through some exercises, if you will, to help you improve your life and to train you. I know that right now one of the downsides of COVID is that it's really difficult to get people that are hiring right now. They don't know themselves when they can open up their businesses and so forth. So I've seen a lot of people placed in employment that have been involved at Joy Junction. So again, an amazing ministry. But this veteran shared that he really thrived in that system and they trained him how to live his own life without being in the military.
Yeah.
By structuring himself.
I like, that's the word I was just going to use, Jim. I think it's structure and discipline. I think, you know, Joy Junction, again, it's not militaristic at all. There isn't, you know, a bugle horn, you know, blowing at 5:30 in the morning or anything of that nature. But they do offer structure. They offer a disciplined program and really a program that, like so many other things, you could really blossom and flower going it, depending on your attitude and your mindset. Or if you just dismiss it, it really depends on the person. So I think there are many successful cases that have come out of Joy Junction. One day it'd be fun to have Elma, you know, come in and just talk about a few of them. But generally speaking, every time I met with Jeremy, he would always give me one like, oh, you know, I met this family or this individual. I've either hired them or they've got a job and they're doing something great right now. And he, you know, Jeremy did that with the board because he wanted the board to know that, you know, Joy Junction is having a major impact.
Well, we need to make sure people know, Joy Junction is on the front lines. They have a complete staff. They're working with people every day. Even though they're not able to do as much in the community as they would love to do, they still need support and love from our community. You can go to joyjunction.org and give on that site. Lots of ways to give. You might donate a car. You might purchase a car. There's a little kind of a business that they've started with using the profits to support the ministry. What an innovative thing. They also have a thrift store, which isn't open
right now. It's not open right now, but when it does open, you know, all that money goes to the general fund. And it also affords the guests at Joy Junction to shop there with vouchers. So it serves a dual purpose. It helps fund Joy Junction, but it also helps with the people. And volunteers.
Yes.
Once Joy Junction lifts the COVID, volunteers, you could call 405-463-4818 and they could even, you know, help you do that. So that's 505-463-4818 and they could help plug you in on a volunteer basis or you could just email patrick@joyjunction.org.
What a great organization.
It is. It's a blessing in our community.
But you know the thing that's impressing me, and we know this about our military, they're long-suffering for us. Mm-hmm. They're in the field. They're away from our families. And the people that work at Joy Junction are very similar. They're meeting people that are down and out. They're in difficult situations, and they love on them and care for them over a long period of time. Amazing ministry.
They are. It's a blessing, and thanks for having me on and talking about them today, Jim. It's great.
Thank you, Brian. Tomorrow, join us on ABQ Connect. We're going to have Pastor Daniel McCabe and find all about what Legacy Church is doing and how they're doing. Stay with us tomorrow. We'll see you. Have a good afternoon.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.